You are listening to BCB Radio's music blog. To find out more, visit us on the web at www.bcbradio.co.uk/musicblog.
Here we are. I'm in Bradford, across the other side of the Irish Sea, but just on the other end of this telephone balance unit is Neil Hannon. Hello, Neil.
Hello, Patrick.
Thank you. It's a great shame, really, Neil, that you're not here in the person for many reasons. Firstly, in that I've walked into this studio and it's full of food. I don't know where it's come from, but there's a slice of cake, there's some grapes of both colours. So I can offer you these things, but you can't take them, so it's rather...
I'm bringing them to my mouth in a fantastical way.
Lovely. Another reason why it's a shame you're not here is to put an end to the theory propounded by some of my friends that we look alike. There is no doubt that we are a pair of twin Adonai, but twin in non-identical fashion.
You know what? I'm just trying to sort of feel your vibe down the phone line, and I think it's probably true that we look very alike.
Really? I think it's probably to do with the fact that I have a penchant for a sort of natty scarf, and you were wearing one on the cover of Casanova, I seem to recall.
I wish I could do a kind of a Bradford accent, and then we could sort of... but it comes out kind of mank.
Oh, right. Well, I struggle with Dublin accents, so we're even on that
one. I struggle with my own accent, to be honest.
Oh, but you've won the World Lottery of sexy accents, haven't you, really? Anyway, should we stop chatting each other up? And cause I'm very happily married, so and talk about Duckworth Lewis Method. The new single, Meeting Mr. Meandad, is out. Is it out now? Yes, it's out. Well, by the time this goes out, because we're pre-recording, yeah. I must admit that to the listeners. By the time this goes out, it will be the day of release, actually, of Meeting Mr. Meandad.
Fantastic. Buy it now.
So please tell me, and I'm sure that I'm wrong, but please tell me that this journey to meet the great Javed Meandad was a real journey. And please tell me that you went in a VW campervan.
This is a gritty, socio-realistic, blow-by-blow account of our trip to Pakistan to meet Javed Meandad.
And is he a great hero of yours, cricket-wise, or even as a person?
Well, I've seen a bit of his sort of replays on YouTube, and he did bat awfully well.
He did,
and he had lovely hair. But the fact is, I really know very little about him.
I mean, sorry.
I was just going to say that... his name scanned marvellously in the song, so that's pretty much the reason he got in there.
I love the fact that there's not more detail to that, and it's just it scans very well.
I'm afraid so. It doesn't take much to get in a Duckworth Lewis Method song.
I mean, a lot of people listening will think, a pair of Irishmen, cricket... and it doesn't seem to quite, but there is a kind of
world gone mad.
But there's a kind of a sort of dull popularity of cricket, isn't it, in Ireland? It's kind of bubbles below the surface, I believe.
Usually on the sports report, it gets mentioned some way after synchronised car tipping. But it's really there's a lot more people admitting to liking cricket in Ireland now than even 5 years ago.
Mm. I mean, it makes sense to me because you're kind of quite a poetic nation, and it's a very poetic and romantic game, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean,
an old school chum of mine, Samuel Beckett, was a massive cricket fan.
I think you're a little bit younger than he.
Well, we weren't exactly contemporaries, but
no.
He did go to my school.
So when you came to put this album together, Duckworth Lewis Method, was it you and Thomas, Thomas Walsh from the band Pugwash, did you sit down, perhaps drunkenly one evening, and say, let's write an album about cricket? Or did the kind of romanticism around cricket kind of bring you this idea of, actually, we could do a sort of concept about this?
It was both, actually, really. We did sort of discuss the idea in the pub and thought, that's hilarious, you know. But... then once we started writing it, it actually flowed really easily because it is a very romantic sport and there's a lot of wonderful arcane terminology to draw from, you know, and a lot of history.
Mm. I mean, there's so many sort of great bits about it that you put onto the album. I love the idea of the sort of romantic metaphor of the Night Watchman.
Isn't it beautiful? Yeah, there's so many... just jumping off points that we were able to sort of draw upon. Some of the album is more crickety than other bits. You know, some of it's more absolutely cricket-based, and some of it's just a lot of waffle, really, that kind of jumped into our minds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Watchmen, yeah, it could be read in a cricket way, but it's much more likely to be a kind of story of unrequited love.
And are you a man, first of all, that was picked as a night watchman, perhaps? For, I mean, and you've obviously not played a great deal of Test cricket. I would think that you're...
I've played no cricket at all.
No, really? Isn't that fascinating? Why is that? Is it because it comes below synchronised cow-tipping, or is it...
Well, it's because I was music-obsessed when I was a kid, really, and although they did play cricket at my secondary school, I never took any notice of any sport, really, and... obviously was never tried out or anything. So, And when I left school, I watched a lot of cricket because it took up an awful lot of time, and I had a lot of time to take up.
Yes, I suppose so. I mean, I can bowl a bit.
Good for you. But I can bat a bit, I've found.
Well, my batting capabilities are about as equal as my abilities with the guitar, which is something I've wanted to do for all my life, is play the guitar. And
well, for all I know, you could be Eric Clapton Mark II, you know.
More clapped out than Clapton.
Very good. Well, because of this album, actually, I have had a bat in my hand and a ball sort of every now and again for some photo shoots.
Mm.
And I have found that I can whack the thing out of the pitch as long as it's a lovely dolly served up to me on a platter, you know?
Yeah.
The problem is my arm doesn't seem to want to go all the way round, so I can't bowl.
I think you have that in common with both Malinga of Sri Lanka.
Well, I was just going to say, Malinga is my role model in the bowling department.
Yeah. And Mitchell Johnson a little bit as well, of Australia.
I've not studied his bowling action because he's so rubbish.
Do we want to be saying that with the test match currently going as we're...
Oh, I'm sure England have lost by now.
Oh, almost certainly. What was I about to say? About cricket and about the Duckworth-Lewis method. It's obviously something that you've kind of put together with a friend of yours and come up with, as you say, you know, some nice sort of romantic bits and quite a lot of whimsy. I'm thinking particularly whimsy with the jiggery pokery, which I can't really go...
That is whimsy personified.
I can't really go a whole day without listening to that in the past 2 months. But is this something that you're going to have a look at doing a second album of? Can it extend to two albums worth of cricket-related songs?
Quite patently, no. I think it could barely stretch to one, really. I think these things, you've got to sort of realise when you've done something good and just to leave it, you know? Because it's so easy to come back and wreck the thing, you know?
Of course.
You know, I don't think we'll tour, I don't think we'll do anything past the end of the Ashes, really, because it's of its time.
Yeah.
And we'd like to leave on a high.
I mean, the Age of Revolution, for example, which was the first single, I mean, that seemed absolutely perfectly timed because it's all about sort of the progression of Indian cricket to the place where it is now, where it's effectively sort of taken over the game a little bit. And that came out just at the point where the 2020 was on, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I think people have a bit of a problem with all this Indian premiership, when in fact it's a wonderfully good sign for cricket as a whole. And I think it's just kind of... jealousy in a way. It's like England, the English Premiership Football League, you know, is the biggest in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So the thought that the Indians might have the biggest cricket league in the world seems like, oh, how dare they? But it's wonderful, you know, and they have the most cricket fans, so why shouldn't they have the biggest league?
Mm. I suppose so. I'm still afraid that I'm a bit of a purist when it comes to cricket, though, in that... I still think Test match cricket is much better than the 2020.
Oh, well, I entirely agree. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, 2020 is like a lovely cream cake, you know? And you gorge on it, and it's lovely, but it kind of leaves you with a bit of a sore tummy.
Yeah.
Whereas Test cricket is a wonderful gourmet meal.
Absolutely.
Well, it ought to be, but it usually isn't.
Well, yes, not if England are involved. Sort of not making you a sports correspondent, let's move back onto music. I mean, The Divine Comedy, am I right in thinking that The Divine Comedy is effectively you? You're kind of a less drunk Marquis Smith, as it were.
That's a, I'd love to be as good as Marky Smith. If I had to drink to be that, I probably would. But unfortunately, I kind of fall asleep after 3 pints, so yeah. I can't.
It's not worth taking the risk that it might happen. You don't think to sort of lacerate your liver.
Indeed, no. He's an icon, a wonderful, wonderful poet.
Mm. And I believe we've got some new Divine Comedy material coming our way before the end of the year. Is that right?
No. Unfortunately, the Duckworth Lewis method has seen that off. But there's no rush, is there? You know, I've made 8 or 9 albums, so I've lost count by now. So,
absolutely.
This one, I intend to get right this autumn and bring it out after Christmas, I think.
Oh, right. Well, as you say, there's no rush. Last time I saw you actually in the flesh, obviously you weren't aware I was there, and even if you had done, it would have been pretty impressive if you spot me, because you were playing by the side of the Thames. I should say this was an organised concert. You weren't just busking. It was for St Patrick's Day, and
yeah.
I was in the London Eye looking down on you.
And how funny.
I have to say, I would have preferred to have been down there, because I found the London Eye underwhelming.
Oh, no, I loved it.
Oh, really? So I looked down and thought, that looks fun down there.
The weird thing is, I'm scared of heights.
Oh, really?
And people had to kind of twist my arm to get me up there. But once I was up, I found it exhilarating.
I wonder if perhaps it's because I was a London dweller at the time, so I sort of was looking
I lived in London for 10 years.
Oh, there you go then. So I'm just... my theories are... cast aside.
Rubbish.
Yes, that's the word. Rubbish. My theories are like a sort of England batting collapse.
No. Nothing could be that distressing.
Anyway, Neil, I should probably let you get on with doing something more interesting than listening and talking to me. But good luck with the Duckworth Lewis method. Well, I was about to say further progression, but as you say, you're about to put it to bed. Hopefully, the next album will be not too far away. Divine Comedy.
Well, the fact that there has been a cricket album at all is a progression.
Absolutely, I've been saying this on the show all the time, even before I even heard it. The idea of an album all about cricket is a winner for me before we've even listened to the first track. And thankfully,
and the fact that it's a classic.
Thankfully, I love the album as well. So, as I say, everyone's a winner.
Hooray for everybody!
Hooray for everyone! Well, hooray for you, and hooray for me for looking like you and wearing scarves.
Exactly.
Thanks very much, Neil.
Thanks a million, Patrick.
Lovely to talk to you. Absolute delight.
All right. Bye.
Bye.